Wonderful. Good morning, everybody. And good morning to everyone online as well. If you've not met before, my name's Stuart. I'm the vicar here. And we're going through John's Gospel. We're looking at Jesus each week. And we're asking really, really down-to-earth practical questions for ourselves. And going to look at this fantastic passage this morning. But we're going to pray first. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the stories of your life and ministry. And we thank you especially for this one this morning. As we look at it together, would you speak to us, each one of us here? And would you fill me with your spirit that I'd speak your words? Amen. Well, I recently heard a true story, about a woman who won an international triathlon with a broken shoulder. Can you believe it? It's a true story. I looked it up just to check. There's a lady called Leslie Patterson. She's a sort of semi-professional triathlete. She had traveled to Costa Rica with her husband, who was kind of her manager, for the Olympic length endurance triathlon, which, if you're wondering, is 1.5 kilometer swim, followed by a 40 kilometers bike race, followed by a 10 kilometer run. And she was preparing for this the day before, going through the track, when she came off her bike, landed on her shoulder, and shattered her shoulder. What would you have done? I would have gone home. But Leslie did not go home. She said to her husband, we get most of our money from this. We've spent a fortune getting here. If I don't end up somewhere on the podium, we're going to lose a lot of money. So why don't I have a go? So her husband said to her, well, hold on, can you swim with one arm? She's like, yeah, I've done it before. I'm okay. I'll give it a go. Can you cycle with one arm? Well, I can cycle uphill because I don't need to be resting forward. I don't need to brake, but I can't cycle downhill, but I'll give it a go. And I know I can run with one arm. That should be fine. So I'll give it a go. So the next day she started this race and she started with a swim and she was going for it. And even though she was pretty slow, by the time she reached the shore, she was 20 minutes behind the people in the front. But she jumped on her bike and she was a really strong cyclist. So she passed loads of people on the way up. And even though she had to walk her bike down the descent, she still, at the end of the cycle, was only in fourth place. And then she ran herself to first place and won this international triathlon. How do you deal with difficult times? What's your response in that crisis? What's your response when things get difficult? And much more importantly, how do you respond when faith gets difficult? When you hit that thing, you think, I'd never thought I'd face this. This is really difficult. This seems impossible. How do you respond? It's one of the most important questions, really. So often in the Christian life, it's not actually whether we hit tough things. It's what we do in them that makes the big difference about whether we'll make it to the end. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. That's why we've picked this passage we're looking at. This is a story of when a lot of people found it really difficult to follow Jesus. And what did they do in that situation? And the question we're asking is, what do we do when following Jesus gets hard? And so I'm just going to unpack this a bit. We're going to look at a few different things. And the first thing I think we need to know, really helpful to know, is that it's normal to find following Jesus hard. It's normal to find following Jesus hard. That's the first thing I want us to notice from this passage. Actually, even though Jesus was physically present, he was there in front of them, he'd done miracles, he was teaching them face to face, this, that, and the other, it says that many of his disciples turned back and found it really hard to follow him. In fact, this is not the only story in the Gospels. There's many stories when people found it too hard to follow Jesus. It says in our passage that little line, this is a hard teaching. Have you ever felt that? Reading through your Bible? You ever felt that in a conversation? This is a hard teaching. This is costly. This is difficult. Jesus responds to them, does this offend you? You ever felt that? Something just, it's got under your skin. You're like, Jesus, really? this is difficult. This affronts me. This I don't like this. It's what it says about me, what it says about others. This is actually quite normal. It's normal to find following Jesus difficult. And I think it's really important for us to realize this, because if we just think that the Christian life is always meant to be easy, or another little lie, that everybody else finds it really easy, then we will think that something has gone horribly wrong when we hit hard times. But it's a common story in the Gospels. And last week, I was away on a little bit of a conference, and I don't really know why I was invited, but there were these all kinds of other Christian leaders there doing all kinds of things, leaders of networks and all kinds of things. And I was a bit starstruck to start with, actually, if I'm honest. But part of that time together, there was some time where people were sharing honestly what was going on in their lives, and we were praying for them. And it's just amazing to peel back that kind of like leadership veneer and hear what was really going on in people's lives. There's one couple, they lead a network, they're sharing how, you know, they lost their daughter at the age of 12 to cancer less than 2 years ago, and they are just really struggling. Just really struggling to just keep going with God, to minister, to be leaders, and that's really tough. Another church leader and his wife, they've just taken over a church where the main leader has recently gone completely off the rails and just, you know, left in scandal. And they're just reeling with this sense of betrayal, this sense of anger, and the whole church is dealing with that, and they're just really, really struggling. We're praying for them. There's another person who leads a church. They've come over to this country from another country to plant a church, and they've been here for a while, and their family is really, really struggling to be here in the UK. It's been a huge cost. And it's just one after another, these people sharing these things that are going on. This is normal. This is normal for us today. Sometimes we go through difficult times in life that makes us question. Sometimes we come up against something in the Christian faith, something Jesus calls us to do, something we read, and we go, ah, this is difficult. Who can accept it? And the first thing to realize is that that's not weird. That's not just you. This is normal. And it happened in Jesus' day. And the real question is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to engage with this difficult time? That's the first thing I see in our passage. The second thing is this. What would Jesus say to us if we're in that situation? I think he'd say this. Make a decision. Don't just drift. Make a decision. Don't just drift. A fascinating thing I notice about Jesus in this passage, I think it's a bit odd. He's giving this hard teaching. He's just given that. People are grumbling. People are walking away. And says many people are walking away. And so he turns to his 12 disciples. These are his inner core. And what does he do? He says, oh, guys, just stick around for a bit, please. I think I was a bit misunderstood. Give me a moment to understand. Oh, it's not that important. We can let go of that. You know, there's other good things. No, he doesn't do any of that. Did you notice what he did? He gives them an opportunity to leave. He opens the door and he says, well, everyone else is leaving now. Would you like to join them? Fascinating, isn't he? What does he say? That, you know, do you want to leave me too? Well, you know, they never taught me this pastoral technique at training college. You know, so guys, you're thinking of walking away from your faith. There's the door. Are you interested? Because it seems like a complete disaster, doesn't it? So what's going on here? I think he is inviting the 12 to make a clear decision which way they're going to go. To make a clear decision. So often when things get hard, we don't make a decision. We just drift. Maybe someone, a friend of ours, challenges us about something going on in our lives, maybe something ungodly in our lives, and we react like an immune reaction to that. But we don't make a decision. We don't deal with it. We just slowly, maybe slightly unconsciously, start avoiding that person. We just try to distance ourselves from that conversation. Maybe we find ourselves angry at God. That's a common thing. Something's gone on, we're really angry at God. But we don't deal with it. We just start coming less and less frequently to church, less and less frequently to small group. We just kind of drift away from those spaces which remind us about God. Maybe we disagree with something God says in his word or call on our life. We don't decide that we don't want to follow him. We don't decide we don't believe in him. We just slowly stop talking to him. You done that ever? Give God the silent treatment? Just drift away. But the thing is, when we allow ourselves to drift, we may as well have decided to walk away. Following Jesus through difficult times requires a decision. You know, it's like doing exercise. It's good for you, but it doesn't happen without a decision, doesn't it? I don't know about you, you know, ever, you know, just not had any plans for an evening? Just, yeah, sure, and oh my word, I did a 10K run. Just happened. That's not really how it works, isn't it? That's something that's difficult. You have to choose. You have to think, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And following Jesus through difficult times doesn't happen if we drift. It happens when we decide. So Jesus turns to them and he says, okay, make a decision. So what's going to help us make that decision in that difficult time? Two other things I see in this passage. First of all, up the stakes. Up the stakes. Another fascinating thing. Jesus is fascinating in this passage. Another thing about his response. When people are grumbling, they are saying this is difficult, who can accept it? He doesn't minimize the issue. He doesn't say, okay, this doesn't matter, or, let's put it to one side. He does quite the opposite. He ups the stakes. He basically says to them, well, if you find this hard, wait till you hear the rest. He puts it this way. Does this offend you? Then wait until you see the Son of Man ascend to the Father. He's talking about himself. You think my teaching about the incarnation, you teach my teaching about me being the bread of life is difficult here? Wait till you see me risen again, rising to the right hand of my Father. You got trouble now, you're going to have even bigger trouble then. And this is a really interesting response again. But I've actually found in the past the principle of raising the stakes when I'm struggling really, really helpful. I had a period in my early Christian life where I really struggled with miracles. I really struggled with the concept of miracles. I was quite cynical about them. I studied sciences and all the rest, and I hadn't seen very many miracles. So I was cynical about miracles. I was cynical about them in the Bible, and I was cynical about them kind of in today's life. And it took a lot of grappling until I sort of realized there was one key question. The key question was, did I believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Like, that is the major thing to face. Like, if I believed that Jesus died and was physically raised from the dead by God, then hey, a few small miracles in the Bible, someone good healing someone, that's not that big a deal. It's not that implausible, is it? If I don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, I have much bigger problems. Yeah? Just think of it, that was really big for me. I do believe that Jesus rose from the dead, in which case, him doing wonderful things is not that far away. Some of us here might struggle with the scriptures. We might find it implausible. We think, do we really believe that God has inspired and spoken through people, like the very human voices, very human people? You're telling me that's the word of God? You're telling me that's really implausable? Find that difficult. So it might be helpful to ask the question, do you believe that Jesus is God? Do you believe in the incarnation? That God, by the Holy Spirit, took flesh, the Word became flesh, to reveal himself to us, to speak to us, to make himself known. He's a God who speaks, a God who loves us, a God who wants to come down and speak in our language and engage with us. If you believe that, it's not so difficult to believe that God did some pre-speaking through the prophets in our language to us. And this principle is really helpful. Jesus says, doesn't say, oh, let's get stuck on this issue. He says, look, there's much bigger things to think about. And sometimes when we're like, I'm not sure, this is difficult, we need to zoom out, look at the big things of our faith. Do I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do I believe he died for me? Do I believe that he's risen again? Do I believe he's given his spirit? Do I believe he's coming back one day? If I believe these things, these big things, these things that are clear in Scripture, it will really help me deal with those things that are smaller and that I have less understanding of. So up the stakes. Think about what you believe. The second thing to do in that point of decisions, up the stakes, and then secondly, consider the alternatives. Consider the alternatives. I find it interesting that Peter seems to do this in his reply. His reply is, to whom else should we go? In other words, we're like, where else is there to go? And that's a really, really good question to ask. Sometimes we don't ask it. Again, we find something difficult, and so we just drift. We drift away. But sometimes we need to think, where would that road take me? Do I really want to go down that road? At university, I had a friend called Rob. Well, he wasn't really a friend, to be honest. He was in the year below me, and he wanted to explore the Christian faith. So he asked if we could meet. So we met every Saturday morning to read a chapter of John's Gospel for a whole year, pretty much. And at the end of it, he didn't become a Christian. Not even close. He wasn't interested. He graduated. He left uni. That was that. About 5 years later, I bumped into him. He'd come into a church that I was at in Bristol, and he was looking for a church. He was a Christian, and wow, amazing. So I said, well, how did that happen? So he told me his story. He said, while I was at university, and to be honest, before, I was just surrounded by Christians, Christian friends, Christians around, and a lot of Christianity. And I think in that kind of space, I saw there was something true to it, something good to it, but I also kind of just wanted to keep living my own way. I didn't really buy it. And I thought, you know, maybe I can have a bit of both. And then after I graduated, I moved to France and I lived there for a year. And I had a year of godlessness. Now, that's not his comment on France in general. That was just his experience. He spent a year. He had no friends who were Christians. He had no colleagues. And he just experienced in that place that he was living just a vacuum completely. And it was that starkness really helped him. He was like, if this is the alternative, I want to be a Christian. And he came back to the UK, joined a church, and like decided he wanted to be a Christian. Because he could see the road, the other side, if you like. And sometimes it's really helpful for us to do that, to think about it. You know, I want to kind of just avoid God, but do I really want to do that? You know, do I believe there's another God than the one of the Scriptures? Do I believe that if it isn't Jesus, who else is it? You know, is it really better to live in a world with no morals, where I'm a speck of dust flying through the universe? We don't often like to think about these things, but sometimes it's really helpful when we're in that place of, am I going to walk away? To ask ourselves, where does this road lead? So Jesus calls them to a point of decision. He ups the stakes, and they consider the alternatives. But the final thing that they do, which is really important, and the most important thing to do when things are getting hard, is this. Draw close to Jesus himself. When things are difficult, the most important thing to do is draw close to Jesus himself. I find it helpful when Peter replies to Jesus. Jesus says, do you want to go? He replies. He doesn't say, oh, Jesus, these other idiots, they just don't understand your teaching. But I've got it. I understand. It's okay. Or, Jesus, I know it's a bit tough, but these guys just aren't hardcore enough. They're going to leave you. I'm hardcore enough. I'm in for this. He doesn't say any of that. Peter finds this just as hard as everybody else. He's also struggling with his teaching. He's also finding it costly. But his focus is in a really different place. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the person. Listen to this reply. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Peter doesn't have all the answers. He hasn't solved this issue. He doesn't find it easier, but he has his eyes on Jesus. And he just knows two things about Jesus. Number one, Jesus is God. He recognizes God is at work through Jesus. He says, you're the Holy One of God. Like I've known, I've tasted, I've experienced. I know that this is the place to go. I haven't got anywhere else to go. You're the Holy One of God. But also, number two, you bring life. I've seen you bring life. I've seen you bring life in my life. I've seen the miracles you've done. I've seen the good things you've done. It's like, he's like, I just know two things. You're the place to meet God, and you're the place that brings life. Where else am I going to go? And I've found this so often in life when I'm going through difficult times, I can't understand anything else, but I have to look at Jesus and think, this is the place to go. Hold on to Jesus. And so when things are getting difficult, make a decision. Think about it, up the stakes, but most of all, draw close to Jesus. And here are a few things to do. Remember the life that Jesus has already brought to you. Look back. You know, sometimes when I'm struggling in my faith and I'm thinking, oh, God's not doing very much, and does he do anything at all? I have to remind myself, particularly of the first few years when I became a Christian. And I have to remember the really big things that Jesus set me free from, the really big changes that happened in my life, the character changes that are just, you wouldn't even recognize me. And I think, no. I remember, Lord, that you bring life. I remember the stories of when you've spoken and when you've moved. And I hold up, you bring life, Lord. We have to remind ourselves of who Jesus is. We actually have to have the discipline of thinking and dwelling on him. In my morning times with God, I read the Bible, and I have got a plan to read through the Bible, and there's a bit of Old Testament, a bit of Psalms, a bit of New Testament, all of this, but every day is a chapter of Gospel, chapter of one of the four Gospels, and that's not because I think the Gospels are more important than the rest of the Bible, it's just because it means if nothing else makes sense, I have spent some time with Jesus, just reminding myself of who he is, what his character is like, what he's like, just because that's the thing to hold on to. If you're going through a difficult time, encourage you. Chapter of Gospel a day. Think about it. Come back to Jesus. Remember who he is. Spend time with Jesus. Spend time with Jesus. Don't stop talking to God. So often when we're struggling with things, what we think is, I need to deal with this thing. I need to understand it. I need to get through it before I can come to God. Peter doesn't do that. He says, I don't understand this, but I'm going to stick close to Jesus. Don't stop talking to God. Even if you can't bring yourself to talk with him about the thing you're really struggling with, don't stop talking to him about other things. Don't stop drawing close to him. Continue to put yourself in the place where his presence is. Again, another thing that happens when we're struggling is coming to worship with everybody else, we don't like it because everyone else seems to be doing well and worshiping and going, and we just feel a million miles away from that. First thing to realize is not everyone's doing that well. Other people are also struggling. But number two, that's okay. Just come, put yourself in the way of God. Come and sit quietly, come and engage, but just leave the door open. Don't shut the door on God. Put yourself in places of God's presence. I was talking about that conference, and this couple who've lost a child was saying that they found communion really, really helpful through this time. It's like they just don't have any words left. They don't have anything more to say, but coming to do communion regularly, particularly part of a group, part of their church, has just been a way of coming close to Jesus, remembering Jesus, holding on to Jesus through this time. What does that look like? And stay close to people who are close to Jesus. Stay close to people who are close to Jesus. Again, so often we push people away, but we need each other. I'm sure it was a great encouragement that while almost everybody left, there were at least 11 others to follow Jesus with. And we need that. And we need to encourage each other. Make space for that. There's a little line in 1 Samuel where David is being pursued through the wilderness by Saul, and he's really at the lowest ebb. And it says this, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him to find strength in God. Helped him find strength in God. You know, sometimes when we're really struggling, it takes courage to allow someone else to encourage us in the Lord. It takes courage to not be patronized by that. It takes courage to open the door and say, like, will you help strengthen me in the Lord? Stay close to people who are close to Jesus. Stay close to people who are close to Jesus. Friends, it's not the most jolly of topics, But it is written all the way through the Gospels and the Bible that it is normal that we will all hit patches where it's really difficult following Jesus. Difficult patches in life, difficult patches in faith. The real question is, what are we going to do about it? Jesus invites us to be honest about where we're at, to make a decision to move towards him, to think clearly, to up the stakes, think about the alternatives, and to set our face towards him, and most of all, to draw close to him. To remember that if we know nothing else, he is the Holy One of God, he is where God is to be found, and he brings life. He does bring life. And we encourage ourselves that many people have walked this road before. Peter walked this road before. He made it to the end. This wasn't the last time. In this room, there will be people who have extraordinary stories of walking through difficult things and difficult questions. We've had a couple of wonderful members of HT recently pass away, and we've had their memorials. Just extraordinary to hear stories of how they persevered through difficult times. So encouraging. You're not on your own. Stick close to Jesus. I'm going to pray for us very briefly, and then Lila's going to come and lead us as we respond. Lord Jesus, we thank you for how when we actually start reading, we find you are really upfront with us about this journey and how it gets tough. Thank you that you are enough, though. Thank you that you are the God who brings life. Thank you that you are worth following. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you give us. Thank you for the people around us. And today we simply ask for your grace to keep going with you and to be good friends to one another. Amen.